Improvise.
Musical.
Comedy.
What are the words?
Making up as you go along.
Do you know what you're talking about?
Rhyming.
Choruses.
Verses.
Bridges.
It's words. It's music.
Sing it. It's musical, sometimes.
Welcome to today's musical improv comedy podcast.
And this is the third in our series of genres. And this time we're going to do
rock and pop. So, we were just, as we started recording,
yes.
Joe just said to me, have we done blues?
That's true. And we did do blues under the kind of world genre that we did.
And the funny thing is, I was just thinking the same thing, because there's a big crossover, isn't there, between...
Well, it's more than a crossover. It's the fact that the whole of rock comes from blues.
Mm.
And in fact, there was a time when it was one in the same thing.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, it's evolved over the years. So as you know, I love rock.
I know that.
And I suppose, you know, things like... So Jimi Hendrix, Led Zeppelin, all those kind of artists who are kind of like that kind of 70s rock vibe.
Mm.
They were like all big, heavy sort of bluesy hitters, weren't they? But yeah. Like very experimental electric guitar.
Yeah. Well, from a musical point of view, there is basically no difference between a blues song and a rock song.
Interesting.
Even now.
Interesting.
I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do with the chords, but they're based on the blues chords.
So what I suppose, from an improvising point of view, mm-hmm. is going to set it apart from being a blues to being a rock song. I mean, vocal styles, I think like, okay, so please forgive me, but I think the ultimate parody of himself,
mm-hmm.
Rock singer, is Meatloaf.
Oh, you know, I was hoping you were going to say that.
You know, yeah, he is
totally
like,
Meatloaf.
Literally, I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back. I would do anything for love. I'll never lie to you, and that's a fact. He is so, like, a piss take of himself.
Yeah, he's exactly, and that slightly, just what you did then, that slightly kind of strained voice.
Yeah.
And over-the-top expression.
God bless you, Meatloaf. But
oh, yeah.
Also, though, like, people like, well... You could argue that this is going into bad taste rock music, mm-hmm. and I hold my hands up and say mm-hmm. that I do like really bad taste music.
Right.
But people like, you know, like Alice Cooper, mm-hmm. Black Sabbath, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess from a comedy point of view,
like
if you're going to do rock, you need to go into the chicken, biting heads of chickens. Yeah. I'm just good looking,
start a little fire. Yeah, I suppose. Well, I don't know. Do you think of that as rock? Because there's rock and roll.
Yeah.
Which is not biting the heads off chickens.
No. No.
And there's kind of rock. And
yeah.
I suppose when nowadays when you say rock, people tend to think of more what I would think of being metal.
I suppose, but then...
Like heavy, hard, massive, distorted guitar-based makeup rock.
Well, basically, I just think from a comedy point of view, if someone says to me rock, I'm going to Gene Simmons it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to, like, do the headbanging... And let your hair down and wig out.
We did try and invent a Mayday's metal song, didn't we?
We did.
We could do one, couldn't we?
Yeah, we could, yeah.
So what we decided to do was we'd base the song on an object from someone in the audience. And
like a really weird present they got from someone.
Yeah, what's the weirdest present you've got, or the nicest, or whatever. So what should we sing this one about? We need an object.
Well, have you had a weird present from someone who's not listening to this podcast?
Mm. Well, I've got this that I got, a robot parrot.
Ah, perfect. Hello! We're here to sing about crap presents. Are you ready to rock? You're sleeping in your bed. You gotta watch out for the birds by your head.
your heart, which just died, and I'm gonna eat.
Good rhyme about Alfred Hitchcock.
Ah, parrot. My voice really hurts.
Well, you're obviously not meant to be a rocker.
No, I'm obviously not.
So that's what we did in a show once about a handbag. Handbag! Yeah.
And then we stormed off stage and knocked all the chairs over.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was great fun. I've got really it on video. I should put it up for the people.
We'll put it up on the blog.
We'll put it up. So that's what you think of as being rock?
I guess so.
Okay.
So, in terms of improv?
Yeah, because the more extreme and exaggerated, the more you can identify with it.
Yeah.
As being a specific style.
I mean, Jack Black, he's another one, isn't he? He's taken the kind of comedy rock genre, you know, so Tenacious D.
Tenacious D, yeah.
You know, if you're looking for a model of how to do sort of good comedy rock, then, you know, he's a good reference point, really, isn't he?
Yeah. Right, so that's default mode. What about rock and roll?
Rock and roll. So my favourite sort of classic rock and roll is like Bill Haley and Paul. Chuck Berry. And now the young monsieur and madame have rung the chapel bell.
C'est la vie, say the old folks, it goes to show you never can tell. The original stuff.
Yeah. I love all that.
Yeah.
I mean, musically, as you say, it's not that far away from the blues, is it?
No, it's not. I guess it's just the fact there's a beat in the background. So if you have a musician that can put on a beat, it's a very easy, generic structure to sing over.
Yeah.
Because it's not overcomplicated. There's plenty of room for putting words in and getting rhymes and, you know, doing the good old AABB structures.
Yeah.
And things like that. So for me, it would suit a non-emotional song.
Yeah, it's an upbeat, high energy. It's quite celebratory, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's good. I'm sure we've ended many a show.
Well, it's fairly secure, high energy. It's going to fit almost anything.
Yeah.
And you can just press the button. In my case, I just press the button and off you go.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing as well, you know, I think we touched on talking about this before, which was this idea that, you know, you can sing in the style of certain vocalists, and that can sum up or be reminiscent of an entire style of music.
Yeah.
So if you're a guy and you come on and you start singing, well, I did this and I said I went down the road, you know, people are going to be like, oh, it's Elvis.
Yeah.
You know, that's got that kind of feeling.
I mean, could you take it any further than that? Into kind of death metal?
Well, you could. Okay, so this German band called, what the hell are they called? Rammstein.
Rammstein.
Yeah.
Does that translate cleanly?
It sounds like it shouldn't, does it? No. Rammstein.
Rammstein. Ich will eure Fantasie.
Ich will eure Energie. Ich will eure. But I think it's interesting, though, isn't it? I mean, this maybe comes in. It's worth chatting about, I suppose, is the difference between having a pianist and having a full band.
Yeah.
If you're doing a musical. So obviously, if you've got an electric guitar and drums and a bass, all of your songs are just going to sound instantly going to sound a bit rockier anyway, aren't they? Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's a lot more. I think what I guess the summing up of this long waffle that we've done is that there's a lot of mileage to be had from comedy in rock, because comedy is all about contrasts, isn't it?
Yeah.
So if you're singing a rock song about like a fluffy bunny, that's going to be funny. So let's move on to pop.
Okay, pop.
So, there is a song structure that we use that is very obviously pop, which of course is the charity song.
Shall I play the intro to the charity song? Because it's just perfect.
It's perfect, isn't it? Oh, it's so horrible.
It's terrible. So we use that for an introduction to a charity song.
Yeah.
Because charity songs are cheesily poppy.
Yeah. Obviously, the kind of classic all-time charity song is Feed the World.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the model we use and the reason it works so well in comedy is because you can sing a line each. So there's a big group of improvisers, yeah. and you know, you can drop in your funny little couplet,
yeah.
and you can have a really silly chorus that everyone sings together. So that tends to work really well. And I think a lot of improv troupes that I know have done a charity song of some kind or another at some point.
Mm.
It's just a bit of a winner, really, isn't it?
Yeah, can't go wrong.
So,
Pet Shop Boys,
Bros,
Aha,
Bananarama,
Rick Astley,
Kylie and Jason,
yeah,
Tiffany.
Oh,
I used to love Tiffany.
I think we're alone now.
But now pop is, you know, well, like I say, to me, when I think of pop, I do think of that kind of pure 80s, you know, all those effects, like your bell tree on the
yeah.
Can we have a bell tree?
We can have a bell tree.
I know it's Christmassy, but it is so pop, isn't it?
Great. Anytime you want to go from a verse to a chorus, just stick one of them in. A bit of glitter. A bit of musical glitter.
So for that, for obviously, if you're playing a normal piano, difficult.
Yeah.
Obviously, with a keyboard like this, if someone says pop to you, straight away you can just put on a sound. And there's pop, isn't there? You know?
Yeah, cheesy, horrible synths.
Cheesy, horrible synths. I was thinking of someone like Girls Aloud or the Pussycat Dolls or the Saturdays, all these bands that are like big at the moment. They're basically reinventing, again, Bananarama, Spice Girls, Girls Aloud. The production has changed, but the kind of the actual feeling and the factory behind it hasn't. I mean, look at the Sugar Babes. They've been around for God knows how long, and the personnel of that band... has changed so much. There is now no one in the band that was in the band to begin with.
It doesn't matter. It's the brand, isn't it?
It's the brand.
And it's sort of much more branded, commercial, cynical Simon Cowell pop.
Yeah.
I guess. So you don't really... Well, I mean, you do get some talented boy bands and girl bands.
JLS.
Well, JLS, yeah, exactly.
And my heart won't beat again. For me, in a comedy sense, I think pop, and I do think, you know, that kind of 80s synthy vibe.
Yeah.
Whereas I think the pop of today has got that more kind of hip-hop edge, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, you certainly nearly always get some kind of rappy, hip-hoppy break in the middle, and there's nearly always someone in the band who specialises in that. Yeah.
Okay, so for the terms of this podcast, someone listening to this goes, I want to sing an improvised pop song. What are the things I have to do?
Yeah.
You're going to... Point of view surely has got to be a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to have a positive, sugary outlook.
Yeah.
So even if you're singing about something really, really dark, you're going to have to make it sound sickly sweet.
Yeah. The chorus will have to be...
Very repetitive.
Very repetitive, very generic.
I should be so lucky, lucky. And I suppose the tone of your voice. I mean, you're not going to do some sort of gravelly thing.
No, light.
Probably not even very soulful, actually.
No.
Just kind of thin.
But definitely, nowadays, room for a bit of kind of hip-hop rap in there, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can always drop a bit of rap in.
So, I guess that's where we should logically go next.
Yeah.
It's because the main genre sharing the charts with pop is hip-hop.
Yeah. Yeah, look at Eminem, for God's sake. You know, like, there's a lot of skill in good rapping.
Yeah, there is, but you don't have to... In some ways, I think if you were good at rapping, you'd be equally scared of singing a conventional song. Because in rap, you can really have any line length you want. It doesn't have to be line. You can chop it in half and you can have a little break and then you can come back in. It's more to do with how many words you get out in your breath.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'd like to do a bit more about this when we've done our rap workshop.
Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Do a little bit of rap.
It's interesting watching other groups, well, specifically Baby Wants Candy in Edinburgh, the first time I'd seen them, because they've got a more contemporary feel. Just kind of naturally, they tend to do a bit more street style music than we do, or than companies I've seen over here do. So I wonder in America if it's a little bit more mainstream.
Right, okay, so we've talked about rock, pop,
hip-hop, a little bit of rap.
And rap.
We
need to talk about dance music.
We need to talk about dance music.
So do you want to know the original, officially, the first dance song? House song.
I think I used to know this, but I can't remember.
I believe, technically, it's Voodoo Ray by a guy called Gerald.
Oh, really?
I think that was the first house song.
Okay.
I tell you what, if you want to know what the definition of house is, you should go to Revenge. where they've remixed this. Revenge is the gay club in Brighton, by the way, from anyone who's listened to this not from Brighton.
That's a good point, yeah.
Where they take any song that's ever been written and they remix it with house.
Nice.
So you can have anything. Dolly Parton.
Nice.
It's true.
I'm sure it is. So we're talking the whole of dance, electronica, all that kind of music.
Well, that is all about the sound, isn't it?
Yeah, well, and the beats. The repetitive beats of music is, to me, what defines dance music.
Yeah.
It has to go doof, 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 and not stop doing that.
Yeah.
So I tend to use that for creating an environment.
Yeah.
Not specifically for let's just sing a song in a techno style.
Well, I tell you what, if I was going to do a house song, there's a specific female vocal style that goes with it. Which is like, for example, you shall make me feel like loving you. Or right on time, right on time.
It kind of comes from disco, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
Because it can easily have those sort of cheesy strings that the disco had, but it's more loopy, much more repetitive.
Yeah.
Much more sample-based than disco. And, I mean, disco has that repetitive beat thing going on as well, but not to the same, not that kick.
I mean, whenever we do a sort of techno song in a show, or drum and bass, or rap, or anything like that, for that matter, the audience likes to watch us doing it because we're so hopeless at it. They like to watch us attempting to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of like rave moves, you know, white gloves, blow your whistle.
Yeah.
That's what people like, isn't it?
Damn right.
I suppose, like, not homework, but, you know, like, feedback, if you like.
Yeah.
Is a... Do you know any raps about rapping?
Any garage songs about garages?
Yeah, or house songs about houses. Do you know what? I'd be really interested, if there's anyone listening to this as like a dance music nerd, just take me out one day for a pint and just explain to me, once and for all, what is the difference between house, acid house, trance,
garage,
dubstep, drum and bass, breakbeat? I'm not sure.
I mean, I could have a guess at some of them, but does anyone know?
Isn't the similarity between sort of someone talking about the difference between a calypso beat and a salsa beat?
Yeah.
Is it that level?
I think it is. I think basically if you're into any form of music that much, I mean, you know, you could say the difference between Baroque and classical music, or the difference between opera and operetta.
Talking of which... That's what we'll be talking about in the next podcast, isn't it?
It is. That's exciting, isn't it? We're going to be talking about musical styles, like musical theatre, classical styles, light operas, Gilbert and Sullivan-y stuff.
Methinks that you're going to be the expert when we do that somehow.
Well, I doubt it.
Well, maybe me and musicals, you and classical.
Yeah. And anything else we can think of that we haven't covered in our genres. While we're on the subject, we should tell our listeners to keep an ear out for our live Osho podcast.
Yes, which is going to be in less than a month.
Yes, it is.
Which is pretty crazy. We're going to do a live podcast, live from Osho Lila, where we're holding our residential improv festival.
We will let you know the time and the date, and we'll put it up on the website so that you can tune in and listen along. That should be a lot of fun.
And we'll probably be doing it like a bit of a masterclass for the people that are there. But if you do have any questions that you want us to answer live on air, you know, improvise a song for you to demonstrate something, then please get in touch with us at openyourmouthandsing@gmail.com.
Yes, during the show you can email us. We'll have the little email box open.
Cool.
And we can respond immediately.
That'd be so cool.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So if you can't come to Osho Lila, which is a Maydays-based improv festival happening at the end of September... You can listen to it and join in. Be a part of it.
Please do.
Be great. So, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye!
1, basically, someone's singing and there's some fucking gorilla standing next to him going, yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
One time, two time.
Come on.
Mind you, though, it's a gift for improv.
That's true.
It just means someone has to sing something and you go, yeah,
God, that would be hilarious.
In fact, I'll sing something and you can do that.
Okay.
What should I sing about?
What sort of thing should I put on behind you?
Have you got like some
I've got something that says hip hop. But maybe you want something a bit more poppy that...
A bit more garage. What's garage?
Garage.
you can just do that all the way through.
Okay.
And we are walking down the street with our high heels on. We're going to the club. Joe is singing pointless things behind me as we go to the club.
That's right.
Go to the club.
The club.
That could totally get in the charts.
That is amazing. I thought we should just write a chart here.